Shalom, shalom, and Boker Tov, Chag Sameach, Shana Tova to all of you. It's so nice to be with you this morning on the Radio Rabbi program. I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello, and thank you so much for joining with us today, which is our last program. Oh, I know, I know. Well, we're trying to put together some sponsorship through GoFundMe, so you can certainly go onto my Facebook page to learn more. We'll talk about that in the upcoming moments of the show. But we thank you so much for joining with us today and for being a part. And I do want to remind you that if you like our opening music, the Shema, sung by the Abayadaya Jews of Uganda, you can go on the Kulanu website, www.kulanu, K-U-L-A-N-U, a Hebrew word that means all of us, and kulanu.org. And there you can go to the click on boutique, and you'll see all of the wonderful music produced by the Kohavim Tikva Choir, the Abayadaya Jews of Uganda. Well, shalom and boker tov and shana tova to all of our friends in Tampa Bay in Europe. So we have some listeners in Brazil. That's so nice. Singapore, Sacramento, Port Charlotte, Chicago, our friends in Juneau as well at Congregation Sukkot Shalom. It's always nice to hear from you throughout the week, and we do appreciate it. Our Christian friends on their way to church or coming back from the early service, I hope that you are all well. And of course, we know that let me say about our Christian friends, it's always important to say, especially one last time here, how much we value your consistent support of the State of Israel. We know that the cancellation of much of the BDS movements around the country has been as a result of not only Jews, but a Jewish-Christian partnership, and we are very grateful for that. And we know that you've been able to listen to the Radio Rabbi all these many years because we've had some great producers. We've had Chris and Michael, Jose, Joe, and of course the inimitable Mr. Bill. Hello, Mr. Bill. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. I'm glad to have been the last one, and I cherished every moment of it.
Well, thank you. And we are so grateful to you, always making us sound so good. If we were on TV, you would make us look good. That I know.
My best.
And thank you so very much. Thank you. And, of course, our charter sponsor, Sleep King of Sarasota, we say a fond farewell to them as well and thank them for their support throughout throughout all these many years. And we'll be talking a little bit about Sleep King later on in the program. As I said, Boker Tov, which means good day to all of you, and Shana Tova for the year 5778, which started last Wednesday evening, continued through Thursday, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, where we had a very special shofar service here in our little synagogue near Tamid del Sud in Calabria, Italy. And not only did we sound the shofar 101 times, we taught some folks how to do it as well. We had some songs, a lecture, and prayers, and we dipped apples in honey as well. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, of course, Friday, and we'll talk a little bit about the fast of Gedalia, which would have happened right after second day, except that was Shabbat yesterday, and so it is happening today. The day is the fast, no eating, the fast of Gedalia, and we'll talk about exactly what that means. Today is September 24th, 2017. On the Hebrew calendar, it is the fourth day in the Hebrew month of Tishrei in the year, as we said, 5778. Now, did you dip apples in honey? Well, I did, and I'm continuing to do so. I wonder if you saw the photo that's making its rounds on social media. It is a jar of honey with an Apple smartphone stuck inside with the caption, That's not what we meant. No. Apples and honey for Rosh Hashanah is not the Apple smartphone. Well, today we'll talk a little bit about Yom Kippur, the most solemn of all of our holy days. Not the most important. The most important would be Shabbat. We have a moving message on Judaism from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the Chief Rabbi Emeritus of England, and we've got some of our musical favorites as well. We're going to get started with Boys Town Jerusalem Choir, a wonderful group of young men, singing Adon Olam, which, of course, is Master of the Universe, and we know that Rosh Hashanah celebrates the birthday of the world, so let's get started with Adon Olam.
Adon Olam, Asher Ara, Beterem Kol Yetzir Nivra, Le'et Nasa, V'chem Tzotko, Azay Melech Shema.
Say here on the Radio Rabbi program, AM 930 The Answer. Well, that was Adon Olam, Master of the Universe, a song that is sung throughout the year in the synagogue, but is most appropriate for Rosh Hashanah as we celebrate the birthday of the world right here on the Radio Rabbi program. I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. I'm so happy that you're with us today. And as I said earlier, oh my goodness, this is our last program, and If you'd like to help us fund the show for another year, just go to my website, rabbibarbara.com. Go to my Facebook page. Friend me on Facebook, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. Or go to the GoFundMe pages and put in the Radio Rabbi. If you'd like to do that, we would love to have you do so, so that we could stay on for another year and give us the time that we need to get a national sponsor. After 15 years, we think maybe we could do that. Well, new year, new babies. How about that? Some 166,450 babies were born during the 5,777 Jewish calendar year in Israel. And for the third straight year, the most popular names for babies in Israel remain the same: Tamar for girls and Muhammad for boys. Now, why would it be Muhammad in Israel? Well, there are many Arabs who are Israeli citizens. As a matter of fact, there are Arabs in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, because everyone who is a citizen of Israel has equal rights. Now, the Population and Immigration Authority of Israel's Interior Ministry released the figures ahead of Rosh Hashanah this Jewish year. So joining Muhammad among the top 10 names for boys were Joseph, David, Daniel, Uri, Omer, Etan, Ariel, Noam, and Adam. Now, just for the Jewish sector, the 10 most popular names were Uri, David, Ariel, Noam, Etan, Joseph, Itai, Daniel, Jonathan, and Levi. For girls, the most popular names behind Tamar were Adele, Miriam, Sarah, Avigail, Noah, Shira, Talia, Yael, and Leah. Now, for, and Leah, that would be spelled L-I-A. And for the Jewish sector, the 10 most popular names were Tamar, Abigail, Adele, Noah, Shira, Talia, Yael, Sarah, Leah, and Esther. Some 166,450 babies were born during the year. That's down from 176,230 in the previous year, while there were 42,172 Israelis who passed away during the same period. So, Hazak Ubaruch, Israel, and all those new moms and dads, may you go from strength to blessing right here on the Radio Rabbi program. We'll continue now with a piece that celebrates the solemnity of Yom Kippur, of course, which occurs this coming Saturday, Kol Nidre, on Friday night. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks is the Rabbi Emeritus of England, and he was head rabbi of England for many years. He does a wonderful speech, and this is also there is an accompanying video as well you might like to take a look at. Why I Am a Jew. Let's listen.
Why I Am a Jew. The deepest question any of us can ask is, who am I? To answer it, we have to go deeper than where do I live or what do I do? The most fateful moment in my life came when I asked myself that question and knew the answer had to be, I am a Jew. This is why. I'm a Jew not because I believe that Judaism contains all there is of the human story. I admire other traditions and their contributions to the world. Nor am I a Jew because of anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism. What happens to me does not define who I am. Ours is a people of faith, not fate. Nor is it because I think that Jews are better than others, more intelligent, creative, generous, or successful. It's not Jews who are different, but Judaism. It's not so much what we are, but what we're called on to be. I'm a Jew because, being a child of my people, I have heard the call to add my chapter to its unfinished story. I'm a stage on its journey, a connecting link between the generations. The dreams and hopes of my ancestors live on in me, and I am the guardian of their trust, now and for the future. I'm a Jew because our ancestors were the first to see that the world is driven by a moral purpose, that reality isn't a ceaseless war of the elements to be worshipped as gods, nor history a battle in which might is right and power is to be appeased. The Judaic tradition shaped the moral civilization of the West, teaching for the first time that human life is sacred, that the individual may never be sacrificed for the mass, and that rich and poor, great and small, are all equal before God. I'm a Jew because I am the moral heir of those who stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and pledged themselves to live by these truths for all time. I'm the descendant of countless generations of ancestors who, though sorely tested and bitterly tried, remained faithful to that covenant when they might so easily have defected. I'm a Jew because of Shabbat, the world's greatest religious institution, a time in which there's no manipulation of nature or our fellow human beings, in which we come together in freedom and equality to create every week an anticipation of the Messianic age. I'm a Jew because our nation, though at times it suffered the deepest poverty, never gave up on its commitment to helping the poor or rescuing Jews from other lands or fighting for justice for the oppressed, and did so without self-congratulation, because it was a mitzvah, because a Jew could do no less. I'm a Jew because I cherish the Torah, knowing that God is to be found not just in natural forces, but in moral meanings, in words, texts, teachings, and commands. And because Jews, though they lacked all else, never ceased to value education as a sacred task, endowing the individual with dignity and depth. I'm a Jew because of our people's passionate faith in freedom, holding that each of us is a moral agent, and that in this lies our unique dignity as human beings. And because Judaism never left its ideals at the level of lofty aspirations, but instead translated them into deeds which we call mitzvot, and a way which we call the halakha, and thus brought heaven down to earth. I am proud, simply, to be a Jew. I'm proud to be part of a people who, though scarred and traumatized, never lost their humor or their faith, their ability to laugh at present troubles and still believe in ultimate redemption, who saw human history as a journey and never stopped traveling and searching. I'm proud to be part of an age in which my people, ravaged by the worst crime ever to be committed against a people, responded by reviving a land, recovering their sovereignty, rescuing threatened Jews throughout the world, rebuilding Jerusalem, and proving themselves courageous in the pursuit of peace, no less than in defending themselves in war. I'm proud that our ancestors refused to be satisfied with premature consolations, and in answer to the question, has the Messiah come, always answered, not yet. I'm proud to belong to the people Israel, whose name means one who wrestles with God and with man and prevails. For though we have loved humanity, we have never stopped wrestling with it, challenging the idols of every age. And though we have loved God with an everlasting love, we've never stopped wrestling with him, nor he with us. I admire other civilizations and traditions, and believe each has brought something special into the world. Aval zeh shelanu. But this is ours. This is my people, my heritage, my faith. In our uniqueness lies our universality. Through being what we alone are, we give to humanity what only we can give. This then is our story, our gift to the next generation. I received it from my parents and they from theirs, across great expanses of space and time. There's nothing quite like it. It changed and still challenges the moral imagination of humankind. I want to say to Jews around the world, take it, cherish it, learn to understand and to love it. Carry it, and it will carry you. And may you, in turn, pass it on to future generations. For you are a member of an eternal people, a letter in their scroll. Let their eternity live on in you.
And that was Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Why I Am a Jew. Judaism will carry us. Absolutely. Wonderful words from Jonathan Sacks in several years ago. And I think in 2014 we may have played this for you. I had a request for it for this High Holy Day season, and I am absolutely happy to comply. I am your radio rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. It's so nice that you're with us today. This is our last program. Yes, it is. We are working very hard to get some sponsors. That would be you. That would be you. You can contribute to our GoFundMe program and try to keep us on the air for another year, during which time I and my assistant will try very, very hard to get a national sponsor. 15 years of the Radio Rabbi has been a joy for me, an absolute joy. At this time of the year, too, at this time of the year, time of new beginnings, closing one door, opening another. And also, as we approach Yom Kippur and we take a look back at the year that was, what we could have done differently and what we plan to do to improve our behavior and our relationships with others in the future. I am Rabbi Barbara Aiello. This is AM 930, The Answer. Well, did you know that today is a fast day? It is. Now, fasting has not been in vogue until recently. You know that cleansing has a lot, has as its base, fasting. And it goes all the way back to biblical times. And today is the fast of Gedaliah. It is observed to commemorate the murder of Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, which is described in the last chapter of the second book of Kings. Now, because of this murder, the remaining Jews, the ones left in Judea after the Babylonian conquest, they were exiled, kicked out yet again from the kingdom. After the first temple was destroyed in 586 BCE and the Babylonians had exiled the majority of the Jewish people, there was a small minority permitted to remain in the land of Israel. Also, Jews who had fled during the war returned, and they began to work the land. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, appointed a righteous man named Gedaliah to be the Jewish governor over the remaining population. The king of the neighboring country, Amon, who was vying with the Babylonians for control of the land of Israel, commissioned Yishmael, the son of Netanyah, to remove Gedaliah. Yishmael, who was the descendant of King David, came to the town of Mizpeh and murdered Gedaliah and all those who were with him. Fearing retribution for the murder of the appointed governor, the remaining Jews fled the land of Israel, thus completing what began as the Babylonian exile. So, the fast of Gedaliah is observed on the third day of Tishrei, the day after Rosh Hashanah. However, if the third day of Tishrei is Shabbat, as it is this year, then the fast of Gedaliah is observed on Sunday, which is today. The fast begins at dawn and it ends at nightfall. Some people like to rise before dawn to have an early morning breakfast, but our halakha says you can only do that if your decision to do so was verbally expressed the night before. Now, biblical fasts were part, or actually the first cleanses, clearing the toxins from the body. And many of the prophets who were what we would today call homeopathic physicians supporting fasting, and they noted how the fast days fell closely after days of feasting and big meals, like the fast of Gedaliah coming as it does right after Rosh Hashanah, family meals, a Rosh Hashanah Seder, etc. So there's still time. You can fast today till sundown in honor of Gedaliah, but also in honor of all of our mishpucha who way back in biblical times invented the fasting, the basis of the colon cleanse. How about that? A little bit of the fast of Gedaliah today. So if you want to fast today, you certainly can. It's early morning, so you've got the whole day ahead of you right here on the Radio Rabbi program. Lior is a wonderful singer. The symphony is the Australian Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nigel Westlake, and it is the Sydney, Australia Symphony Orchestra. Let me correct that as we listen to Vino Macchino. Thank you.
avinu malkei, avinu malkei, chaneinu ve'aneinu, ki invanu ma'asi. Avinu malkei, chaneinu.
and that was Avinu Malkeinu, Our Father, Our King, sung by Lior, and the music provided by the Sydney, Australia Symphony Orchestra, right here on the Radio Rabbi program. I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. Thank you so much for joining with us today, for being with us today, as on this, our last program. Yes, it's not just our last program of the year. No, it is our last program, unless we can get a new sponsor. And if you would like to sponsor, we will name you, give you a lot of kavod during our show, and give you an opportunity to keep the Radio Rabbi on the air. Just go to my website or my Facebook page. You'll find out how you can become a sponsor. Any amount at all is appreciated. Ben Sales writes for the JTA News Service, a few weeks ago, Holly Davies was getting ready to homeschool her kids and preparing for the High Holy Days when Hurricane Harvey hit. So she helped to evacuate 150 people from her neighborhood by her airboat and shelter nearly 100 people in a local church. Then came the hard part. For the past 3 weeks, Davies has been leading a force of up to 300 volunteers who have mobilized in Houston to repair homes and synagogues in and around the heavily Jewish housing development called Willow Meadows. Davies has spent September coordinating teams who are clearing sheetrock, stripping floors, preventing mold, and distributing aid. Her volunteer operation is headquartered in Beit Ramban, which is a Sephardic synagogue that was spared flooding and has helped rehabilitate the homes now of about 100 families. But Holly Davies is also helping lead the effort to make sure those families have a place to pray when Rosh Hashanah began, of course, on Wednesday, this past Wednesday evening. She says it's very important for the community to have their central worship place, to not feel fragmented, not only in their homes, but in their community, she said. A lot of people are staying with friends or others or other people in our community. As the entire Houston area recovers from Harvey, synagogues face the added difficulty of drying out their buildings days before the holiest and busiest days of the year. Three large synagogues sustained substantial damage from the flood, forcing them to improvise, relocate, or make do with whatever floors, books, and ritual objects remained intact after the hurricane. There was not any part of the synagogue that was immune to the flooding. Those are the words of Rabbi Brian Strauss of Beth Yeshurun, a conservative synagogue in Houston. There was water covering the first seven rows of the sanctuary. You couldn't even see the seats. Strauss said his synagogue sustained about $3 million worth of damage, along with cutting out floors, cabinets, and sheetrock, and disinfecting the building, which are the basics, by the way, of flood recovery. The synagogue will have to bury nearly 1,000 holy books that were ruined, completely and totally ruined in the flood. The synagogue will set up a Harvey memorial at this burial space. Now, United Orthodox Synagogues, another Houston congregation, had up to 6 feet of flooding in some places. They lost most of their prayer books as well. Congregation Beth Israel had damage to its sanctuary, mechanical room, and offices. No Torah scrolls were damaged at any of the congregations, however, as they were in high places when the flooding began. United Orthodox isn't sure if the building can ever be completely repaired, while Rabbi Strauss House is shooting for his building to be back to normal for High Holy Days 2018. In the meantime, the synagogues have found makeshift solutions. United Orthodox 300-some families have been praying, meeting, and eating in a large social hall that avoided the worst of the water. The synagogue has also had hundreds of new prayer books donated from publishing companies and synagogues around the U.S., including 400 Maksorim, or High Holiday prayer books. Now, Beth Yeshurun has been holding bar and bat mitzvah services in a nearby high school auditorium, and otherwise has joined with Brit Shalom, a nearby conservative synagogue that was not flooded. Now, for the High Holy Days, Beth Yeshurun will be meeting at Lakewood Church, a Houston megachurch that's donating its space and its support staff. And to give the building a Jewish feel, Beth Yeshurun will be projecting photos of its artwork on the church walls. Everyone is being incredibly cooperative and patient, says Rabbi Barry Gelman. This is an incredibly responsive community. Despite this, we're really looking forward to a beautiful Rosh Hashanah. The rabbis have handled their synagogue's recovery while also dealing with their own personal crises. Both Rabbis Gelman and Strauss had flooding in their houses. Gelman, along with a few dozen Jewish families, has moved to an apartment complex near the synagogue that he now calls a kibbutz. Other religious families are hosting displaced persons who want to stay within walking distance of their synagogue. There's a lot of expenses, there's a lot of physical upheaval and emotional upheaval, says Rabbi Gelman. There's lots of uncertainty, a lot of stress. The human cost of this is really unimaginable and ongoing. The flood has also affected what's usually troubling rabbis at this time of the year, their sermons. Strauss, who was going to talk about pressures affecting teens and young adults, will instead be discussing his family's personal experience during Harvey and how to avoid fixating on material possessions. Rabbi Gelman will talk about the connection between homelessness and repentance, as well as how to respond to the flood while thinking of the future. I'll talk about long-term thinking and not relying on short-term answers to life's difficulties, says Rabbi Gelman, describing his Rosh Hashanah sermon for the second day. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the birthday of the world. We see this as an opportunity for our own rebirth. That's an update for you here on the Radio Rabbi program of three major synagogues badly damaged by Hurricane Harvey in Texas, and synagogues in Florida have sustained some damage as well, not to mention synagogues in the islands, in the Caribbean islands, that got hit not only with Irma but with Maria too. We continue with our music of the season, and one of my most favorite songs and one of the most requested by all of you, written by Naomi Shemer, a blessed memory, sung by recording artist Shuli Nathan on the CD Open Rooms, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Jerusalem of Gold.
Yeah.
Yerushalayim Shel Zahav Shuli Nathan, sings Naomi Shemer's beautiful melody right here on the Radio Rabbi program. One of the most requested of all the songs that you have asked me to play over these 15 years. And we're broadcasting our last program today. So, but we would never forget to remember those who are ill. The Misha Berek is a regular feature here on the Radio Rabbi program. We pray for those in need of healing. And today you've asked me to remember Ralph and Becky, Edith, Sandy, Andrea, Sandro, Mickey, Annie, James, Darian, Dennis, Paul, and Carol. And now, as we always do, say aloud the names of your friends and family members who are ill and in need of the Misha Berek prayer. We know that the Kabbalah has taught that there's greater strength when we pray together than when we pray alone. So sing along as well to the beautiful words of comfort sung by Debbie Friedman of blessed memory, the Misha Berek prayer. Mishaberek prayer sung by Debbie Friedman of Blessed Memory, right here on the Radio Rabbi program. Well, this is our very last show, at least for a little while, and we have a lot of thanks to send out your way. And, of course, our big thanks and a todah rabbissimo, as we like to say here in Italy, to Sleep King of Sarasota and to Steve Prophet, who took over after Larry Cohen's passing. 1901 Hanson Street is where Sleep King is found, 941-922-5271. And you can certainly give Steve a call or the staff there a call and thank them for their 15-year sponsorship of the Radio Rabbi program. Steve has often said that we're devoted to our customers, so rather than steering a customer to a particular product, we educate them on all of our mattress options and we help them make a selection that suits not only their sleep needs but their budget as well. And Steve also is devoted to the listeners of the Radio Rabbi program. The staff is always happy to greet you, happy to see you, and you may want to stop by there. And if indeed, maybe you had a little bit of leaking in the apartment there, in the guest room or in the condo or in your house, it's time for a new mattress. This is the very best place to go. And do thank the staff of Sleep King for being such a wonderful charter sponsor all these many, many years. We're hoping that you will have an opportunity to be a sponsor yourself. You can go to the GoFundMe page, www.gofundme.com. You can go to my website, rabbibarbara.com, or to my Facebook page, Rabbi Barbara Aiello. And there you can find out how you can donate. No amount is too small. And, of course, my great thanks go out to all of my loyal listeners, all of you over these very, very many years. And we're hoping that we'll be back on the air soon. You never know. It's a brand new year. You never know what can happen when that shofar sounds for the very last time. The Radio Rabbi is a pluralistic program, we like to say. And what do we mean by that? Reformer, progressive, orthodox or reconstructionist, conservative or renewal, humanistic, Ashkenazi or Sephardic, Anosim, crypto-Jewish, Moranos or conversos. Maybe you're a cultural, a secular, or a gastronomical Jew. You like the honey cake this year, right? We are all part of the Mishpucha, part of a worldwide wonderful Jewish family. As we say to you, welcome home. This is Rabbi Barbara Aiello, your radio rabbi, and we say goodbye. Hag Sameach, Litraot. Hopefully we'll meet again soon right here on the Radio Rabbi program. Happy, happy new year and all the very best. Shalom.